This past Friday, of course, was January 6th, the first Friday of the month, and our practice has been since I've been here, since I arrived a year and a half ago, was to have First Friday Adoration, have about 9 hours on the first Friday of the month to spend before the Blessed Sacrament, and people would take their turn, as is normal during perpetual adoration. Of course, January 6th is also the traditional day of Epiphany before it was moved to a weekend, the weekend nearest to January 6th, by the bishops in the United States and other countries. Well, as I was spending my time in adoration, I was reflecting on the monstrance itself. And it looks like a pretty typical monstrance that you've seen probably in most parishes. You know, the host is in the middle where you can view our Lord. And as the popular saying goes, he looks back at us. And then from that center part are rays of gold that look like rays of light radiating from the host, like the sun with its solar rays coming off of it. Now, I know most monstrances are like this. They have some form or variation of that. And then while adoration is going on, I turn off the back floodlights. You know, there's the hanging lights, you know, which put out a lot of light in the sanctuary. Well, I turn those off and I leave just the spotlights, which are trained on the altar, on so that it's kind of puts the focus on the monstrance itself. Well, as you view the monstrance when it does that, because it's this beautiful gold monstrance, it appears to almost be radiating light compared to the darker background of the sanctuary, instead of merely just reflecting the light from those spotlights. Now, of course, this appearance of monstrances as having those rays of light is not merely a coincidence. Of course, we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the light of the world that is shining in the world which has been darkened by sin, guiding us and leading us to salvation. Salvation being eternal life with the Father through communion with the Holy Spirit. This radiance of our Lord was the light from the star that led the wise men. And of course, we know the story. We know the story well. They came from the east following this star, which heralded the coming of a new king. The star, after a brief layover in Jerusalem to speak to King Herod, led them right to the Holy Family in Bethlehem. When these wise men came, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, we know this, of course, from the song, that We Three Kings. You know, very traditional symbolism in this song, by the way. The song really shows the symbolism of the gifts very clearly. You know, we've got the gold, which was brought to crown our Lord as king. You know, gold was used to make crowns then as it is now. Incense, which was always been held both in Jewish circles and in Christian circles as signs of prayers ascending in worship. We see this in the book of Revelation. This incense being brought before him declares him as divine. And then finally, the myrrh, which was used to anoint the body after death, again, foreshadowing the sacrifice of our Lord. Well, just as the kings were led by that radiance of the star, which was the radiance of Christ, the radiance of Christ also leads us, if we're open. You know, the kings at that time, at the time our Lord was born, were probably not the only ones to see the star. Now, this is just my opinion. You know, there's nothing in church teaching about this. But it's my opinion that they probably weren't the only ones to see the light of that star. But they were the only ones who were open to what that star was saying. We also need to be open to the light of Christ leading us. We're called to follow it as they followed it in following the stars. The problem is, so many of us are looking in the wrong places for what we need and what we desire. We desire peace and comfort and forgiveness and love. And unfortunately, all too often, we're looking in the wrong place. All this has been promised by Christ to those who follow him, not going our own way, but following his way. The light of Christ that we are called to follow is shining through his church. He leads us through his church. We are called to receive what we're seeking through obedience and respect to church teaching. Now, this might be hard to believe. You might think, you know, but there's so many things in church teaching that I don't agree with. There's so many things in church teaching that I can't follow. But it's true. If we truly want to receive the peace and the love and the grace that we're seeking, we need to be open to following church teaching, especially those hard teachings. Either the hard teachings, which are hard for us to understand, but also those hard teachings that are hard for us to follow because we don't always agree with them. The light of Christ is also shining through the celebration of Mass. Every time we attend Mass, every time we come here for Mass, we are directly bathed in the light of Christ. Even if we can't see that with our eyes or understand it with our minds, as the hymn Down in Adoration Falling, a translation from the ancient Latin Tantum Ergo, faith will tell us Christ is present when our human senses fail. Our faith tells us that even though we can't see this light of Christ, we are being bathed in it when we are here at Mass. That's why weekly Mass is so essential and daily highly encouraged, that we regularly take advantage of this direct encounter with the grace and love of Christ. It's as if the rays of red and white light from the divine mercy image coming from our Lord's heart come upon us. When we're at Mass, the light of Christ enters into us through Holy Communion and envelops us by being present at his sacrifice. So for us as Christians, may we follow that light as the kings did when they followed the star. May we enter into it, opening ourselves up to it, embracing the peace, comfort, forgiveness, and love that Jesus promises.